You can go ahead and be seated. Let me just give a couple announcements. I think everything's pretty much in the bulletin. I think the piano has slightly out of tune. Did you notice that this morning? Did you hear that? So slightly out of tune. So we got that a piano tuner coming this week, and you know, just the daily business of stuff like that. Pray that God continues to work in people's hearts and minds after this morning's very great evangelistic message. And it wasn't just, we can also remember, it was not just salvation, was it? It had some good challenges for us as believers. And, you know, we need to make sure we have that zeal to share the gospel. So I'm just excited that we had Brother Leroy here. And here in October, he's going to be back at our missions conference. And I have a paper, and I made about five of them, and they all got taken. So I have to make some more. But basically, October 4th through the 7th, we're having a missions conference. That Sunday is the 4th. We're having a speaker in Sunday school, a preacher in the morning, and then this guy at Sunday school is going to share at night. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, every night at 6, we're having a dinner. And followed by at 7 o'clock, our service, and we're having two speakers every night. One missionary to just give their testimony of salvation, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, and then the other speaker will actually preach a sermon about on missions, missions minded, missions themed. So we're going to do that for three nights in a row. And Wednesday, we are having a luncheon. And everybody will be invited. You can invite friends. And we've lined up a bunch of the local area missionaries, ministries like Carriage Town Homeless Shelter, Flint Crisis Pregnancy Center, Fenton Area Right to Life, Christian Child Evangelism Fellowship, Chaplain Novak from the jail ministry. And we could even have Leroy come to that as well for Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And maybe if there's some other local ministry or something that you're aware of that I didn't think of, but we've got quite a few, and they're just going to, during the course of our luncheon, they'll stand up and just give us a few-minute update on their ministry. So I think we have a pretty nice conference schedule and being planned. So one of the things that I've talked about with the missions committee, and I'm going to mention this next Sunday as in the morning as well, is we'd like to make little like gift baskets for each of these missionaries that are coming to speak. If it's maybe it's not in a basket because I'm not very crafty, but maybe it just is in an envelope. But we'd like to give them some gas cards. Now we could just take some money out of the missions budget, but it'd be really neat if we could get maybe $25 gas cards, a whole bunch of them, and then we'll just split them up between all the missionaries. Or I don't know, I say gas cards because there's gas stations all over wherever they're from. If we'd say a grocery store and you get a VG's one and they don't have a VG's in their town or whatever like that. That's why I thought gas, they could use that. It's nice and simple. Or if you just want to do a monetary gift as well, I'm sure we'll be taking some special offerings that week for the missionaries and things like that, or to help cover the cost of the conference. But just be in prayer that we would have a good group come to that as well. But that's all my announcements. Do the ushers look like they're ready to come up? You guys ready?
Good evening, folks. Boy, that song threw me back to my beginning Christian life. I remember hearing that in the late 70s. But I love it and how true it is. I saw the verse in the hymnal that was referenced when that song, on the same page of that song is John 13:35. And Jesus basically said, this is the one earmark that will let people know that you are my disciples. The love you have one for another. All right. I am going to talk to you about gardening tonight. It's something that applies to everybody. I have titled a short lesson, Tend Your Own Garden. Tend Your Own Garden. I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before your presence, Lord, we just recognize and acknowledge your magnificence. Lord, I thank you that you have placed in our heart a desire to sing a song like we just did. But in reality, Lord, I'm afraid something very, very difficult to live out. We need you desperately, Father. We cannot fake this Christian life. Lord, we are utterly dependent upon you. You have given us absolutely everything that we need for life and for godliness. Lord, you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us the blood of your Son to wash away our sins. And Lord, you give us your grace, mercy, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, moment by moment. And I thank you, Lord, for that. So, Lord, as we look into a subject that concerns all of us, I pray, Father, that you would pour the grace that you only can to go along with the challenge to live as we ought to. Lord, I just thank you once again for this privilege of being able to share your word, speak to hearts, Lord, as you speak to mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Tend your own garden. In Genesis 2, you don't have to turn there, you probably know the story, that God placed Adam in the garden and he told Adam to tend that garden. I want to contend that God has placed a garden in you, and he wants you to tend that garden. And if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. God has placed a garden in each and every one of us. Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, you'll see the connection I'm making here very quickly. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Tend your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all of the issues of life. You realize that everything that comes out of you, as far as your words, your actions, even your attitudes, originate in the garden of your heart. That's where all of the issues of life come from. So God has placed this garden called your heart in you, and he wants you and he wants me to tend our own garden. Who is responsible for what grows in the garden of your heart? Who's responsible? I'm asking. You can speak to me. You are, aren't you? You are responsible for what grows in the garden of your heart. I hope there's no objection to that. I'm going to be real simple here because I'm a simple guy. There are three steps necessary in maintaining and tending your garden. Number one is plowing. Number two, there's planting. And number three, there's pulling. You ever have a garden? I married a gardener. We have more gardens in our yard. Are they easy? Are gardens easy? Vegetable garden, flower garden? Do they maintain themselves? How about your heart, the garden of your heart? Easy maintenance, low maintenance? Take care of itself? Don't trust that your heart is going to take care of itself. It will not happen. The first thing that has to happen in the garden of your heart is plowing. God likens your heart to soil. And I want you to turn to Hosea. I'm going to read just a little excerpt from Jeremiah. Turn to Hosea chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 3, God brought my attention to this week. And just a reminder, Hosea chapter 10, where you're turning to. But Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3 tells us, God tells his people to break up your fallow ground. And it goes on to talk about basically tenderize your heart before God. Plow up your fallow ground. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Let me ask you a question. Why would the garden of our heart need plowing? We have a hard heart by nature, okay? Does anybody object to that? I mean, that's hurtful, right? But it is so true. The nature of our heart is to be hard. Just like the nature of soil. If you don't plow it, it will get hard. The rain cannot even penetrate it when it gets hard. So the garden of your heart needs plowing because it gets hard. There are stones in that ground. There are rocks in that ground. And, you know, we live out in the country, and I watch the farmers go through the field, and I watch them put these monstrous implements into the ground and churn them up. A plow is sharp. A plow does not give in favor of the ground it's going over. A plow wins every time. A plow is sharp. It slices, it cuts, it turns over. It breaks up the hardness of the soil. That's what it's designed to do. So when it comes to our heart, how do you plow up the soil? If our tendency is to become hard-hearted, how is it that we plow up the soil of our heart? The truth, the Word of God. Anything else? What else is there? Here are a couple of ways that we can plow up the soil of our heart. And really, we need help. We need lots of help doing this. First of all, it was mentioned, let God's Word do it. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. When it is brought into our mind and into our heart, it divides. God's Word will discern your thoughts and intents, your intentions. God's Word gets down into that hard ground and plows it up. That is what God's Word will do. So what's our responsibility in that way? Get it in. Get it in there. We need to read that Bible often. You heard Well, you probably very well heard Leroy this morning. I don't think anybody, people that were home probably heard him. But he says he has a zeal for God's word. What a blessing it is to have a zeal for God's word. We all should have that. It makes me very, very sad to think about how much time during the day we spend on things that matter nothing in eternity, absolutely nothing, when the Word of God sits there and just lays there on the table at home. We have to get the Word of God in our heart so that the Holy Spirit can do His job and plow up the fallow ground. Another way to do it is to let others help you. You have a garden in your heart, and it's up to you to decide whether or not you're going to open the gate and let somebody else into your garden. Okay? Now, some of us, we're very private, and we don't want anybody in our garden. We don't want to let anybody in there. They're going to see the mess it is. They're going to try to pull weeds out. Hebrews 3:13 has become one of my precious verses, that we are to encourage or exhort one another day after day, after day after day, as long as it is still called today. Why? Why? Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need help. We need help maintaining our garden. We need God's help, and we need to let Him send other people in to help us as well. That takes some humility. But those are the ways that God plows up the fallow ground in our heart. And let me throw out there for you farmers, there's such a thing as a plow pan. Have you heard of a plow pan before? Bless you. What is a plow pan? Somebody that might know? Don? Yeah, let your mind run with this. There is a layer under the ground in every field that's just below the reach of the plow. And they have got to get this plow pan, because of the machinery going over it, packing it down over and over again, it gets hard. The top looks good. You know, when I get into our garden, all I'm doing in our garden is pulling a disc through it. It turns it over about this deep. But I know what's down below that. And a really good hard rain will let you know that there's a pan we're in blue clay. And there is a blue clay pan underneath that beautiful soil that the plants come up in. When it rains really, really hard, no water's going down in there, because that pan stops it. And in your heart and in my heart, think about this with me. I was just thinking about this afternoon and how relevant this is. We all have a plow pan in our heart. We'll let friends in, and we'll let them come on in with their hoe. Sometimes we'll let them come on into our garden with a little tiller. You know, if they see a little weed in there, yeah, we'll let them help us get it out. But there's a plow pan in our hearts. And God does not want plow pans in our hearts. We come to church all the time, week after week after week. And the plow goes over us, and it gets into the soil a little bit. It cuts it up and turns it over. It prepares it for seed, which is fantastic. But do you think God is satisfied that really the seeds and the roots, only the seeds are there, and they grow, that they only go this deep and then they hit the pan? Do you think He's satisfied with that? He's not satisfied with that. But most of us are happy with that. We look pretty good. You know, we're doing okay until some monstrous problem comes along, and then, you know, we really can't get the nourishment we should because our roots only go so deep. So how does God break up that plow pan in yours and my heart? With his word? By his spirit? Yes, he does. And he reserves the right to do it any way he wants to. He reserves the right to plow up deeper than you want him to in any way that he wants to do it. That's why we have evangelists come into churches, okay? They put that plow down, they rip that plow pan up, and they go on to the next church. And we're figuring out, what in the world happened? I feel so fantastic because I feel like I'm born again. That's not what happens, but all of a sudden you have a joy that you didn't have because that plow pan of his Holy Spirit through a special messenger came in and just plowed so deep that it broke that plow pan up. Going on a missions trip will do that. But let me tell you where we don't like it when God breaks up our plow pan. Difficult situations that he sends into our life. And offenses that people throw our way. Anybody ever offend you? No. No, we're in a church full of Christian people. Has anybody in your family ever offended you? Stop waving that back there, Dave. Has anybody you would least expect ever hurt you? God will choose whatever instrument he chooses to pierce your heart so deeply that he'll break that plow pan up. He'll do it. If you're his child, he will do it. He would rather do that than let you go on and me go on with a shallow Christian life. He will send somebody to hurt your heart so much that it breaks it. Somebody you don't want ever to do that to you. God's got his plows. And if we don't see him in charge of the plow, what happens is we become bitter as opposed to becoming a better Christian. That is just as simple as it gets. If we don't see God's hand in the situation, that's exactly what goes on. We all know what it's like to have our heart broken or pierced by a person or a situation, don't we? We all know what it feels like. It hurts. I mean, you can physically feel the pain in your heart. But what we need to do with that pain is just run as quickly as we can to God and beg for his help. I think I was in Sunday school or sometime this morning, I was thinking over, and I think I said it out loud, that, you know, we avoid brokenheartedness at all costs. But God wants us to be brokenhearted. That's what he wants us to be. If Romans 8, verses 28 and 29 really do apply to a Christian's life, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the next verse will tell you the reason is to become like Christ. Then we have to be able to see that the circumstances that we would never have asked for are there for the purpose of breaking up the fallow ground of our heart and getting down and busting up that plow pan, that the roots of what God wants to grow in your heart will go deeper and deeper and deeper and change us from the inside out. So now that the soil is broken up and it's soft, number two, we plant. Hi, Philip. You got some water for me? Thank you, buddy.
Man, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You must drink it.
What?
You want to drink this?
I do, yes. Thank you, Philip. What a sweetheart. Thank you, Don, for sending that. Now that the soil is broken and soft, we plant. What do you plant in the garden of your heart? God's Word, as we've talked about already. God's Word. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. We plant the seeds of God's Word in our heart, and He will grow them and make them fruitful. That is a promise. Colossians chapter 2. God wants soft soil. You know the parable of the sower. There were some seeds that were sown and they just bounced off the soil. And some went in and actually grew a little bit and hit that plow pan. And they stopped growing. And the trials came along and they withered and they died. But what God wants to plant in the soft soil of yours and my heart. In Colossians chapter 2, we'll see what God does with the seed of His Word. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up. Turn to the next page, or maybe it's on the same page, chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do in a soft-hearted Christian. That's what we're supposed to look like. In Ephesians chapter 3, boy, we could camp here and we won't, but boy, oh boy, what a beautiful section of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love — God is love, by the way. Thank you, Jim. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And if you want to get really excited, you can read the rest of it, but we all need a glory rag to wave as we read through that portion. We are to plant God's Word in our heart. Thirdly, pulling. What do you pull from the garden? You think about, when you look at a garden, you realize what a wonderfully powerful curse God did, you know. I was going to bring a bull thistle here tonight to remind us of how powerful that curse is. You can't even touch a bull thistle. You can't even grab it to pull it out. It is that painful. We pull sin seeds out of the garden of our heart. We, first of all, pull our own sin seeds out of the garden of our heart. And that's a fairly frequent procedure. Okay? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24, Jesus said, when you bring your gift to the altar, if you really want to go through the exercise of pretending to be wanting to worship me, okay, bring your gift, but I want you to leave it. And if you remember that somebody has something against you, and it doesn't matter which way it went, whether you hurt somebody or they hurt you, leave the gift there. God does not want your gift without having your heart behind it. He wants the giver, and then he wants the gift. Leave it. Go take care of business with the person you hurt or the person that hurt you, and then you come back. And then your relationship with God will be right. Secondly, you weed out those sin seeds that others place in your heart. Those offenses that I talked about. Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Have you ever laid there at night and you just couldn't get to sleep because something was bothering your conscience? God gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us a conscience. And they work in tandem. And if there's something, if you have a beautifully tilled garden and you're ready for God, you're ready for God to work in your life and in your heart, do you suppose you're going to know if there's a weed seed in that garden? Yeah, you do. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger or your wrath. Why? The next verse tells you that you're giving Satan a foothold. That root from that seed is growing. You go to sleep anyway. Get up the next day. That root is in there, but you don't see it. Pretty soon, there's a plant coming up. Pretty soon, it becomes a bull thistle. We have got to keep such short accounts. God has given me a precious wife and teaching me. Don't you dare get a list of offenses against her. Don't you dare give her a list of offenses against me. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it every day like you do a garden. Deal with it. You've got to. Otherwise, you won't be able to see any fruit in your garden. All you'll see is weeds. Plow, plant, and pull. Repeat. Repeat till you're in heaven. Plow, plant, and pull. You know what? It reminds me that we're going into the Lord's Supper. Even though Pastor's on vacation, he's going to do it. We'll pay you overtime, Pastor. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, we are to examine ourselves. We are to examine our garden. This is the opportunity to examine the garden. God wants our garden to grow fruit, not weeds. And that's our responsibility. Let's take this opportunity tonight to do some self-examination. If you close your eyes and God will not give you peace about your relationship with him because there's something between you and somebody else, what I'd like you to do is just determine in your heart between you and the Lord that, yes, indeed, you will tend that garden. We only have one garden. And just to tell you something that kind of was, it was something that came to me this last week. The same conditions that grow fruit that God wants in your garden are wonderful for weeds. You should see in our greenhouse, when we're growing plants, the weeds have a field day in there because the conditions are perfect for them too. They're opportunists. They will get in there. They will be planted. You won't even know they're there. But they get water right along with the other plants. They get care along with the other plants. Be very careful. Satan is such a dirty dog. He would love nothing better than to have yours and my heart full of weeds. So as we get ready for the Lord's Supper, please do your self-examination. And believe me, God's been having me do it as well. Thank you.